Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Tune in to the Alaska Patriot Network. Fridays, 2 p.m. Alaska time, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Remember when no one thought that 1 year from the election the Dow would be up 28.5%.
You've got very strong growth, a terrific employment market.
We have no inflation. Virtually no inflation.
Wages climbed 2.7%. The unemployment rate matched a 50-year low.
Oil prices dropping today, tumbling more than 3%.
President Trump's policies, tax cuts, deregulation, opening energy.
Whether you're a blue-collar or white-collar worker, he's taking care of all collars.
He is rebuilding this economy
in ways experts say was never possible.
The Biden administration faces another crisis amid a growing
backlog. It is not a pretty picture here at the pump. The price of gas increasing more than 6% over the...
You're paying more for everything.
I'm Lauren Boebert, and I travel down to McAllen, Texas, to the Rio Grande Valley sector to see what's up at our southern border. So here's what's up at the border. Illegal aliens crossing the border. That's up. Sex offenders crossing the border. That's up. Drug trafficking, gun smuggling, human smuggling. That's up. Unaccompanied children being sent on this journey alone, and even worse, given over to the cartel, that is way, way up. You know what's not up at the southern border? Respect for law and order, funding for our border patrol. And where's the media to cover this crisis? More than 70 days ago, Biden named cackling Kamala as border czar, but she hasn't done a single thing to protect the American people. She hasn't even been down here to see the border or the tens of thousands of children wrapped in aluminum foil. You can't just hear about what's happening. You have to come down here to see for yourself, to really understand the devastating reality at our southern border. So I brought Kamala down to see exactly what this regime is responsible for with their man-made crisis. Now, Kamala, I want you to stand here and look at what you've done.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday, so we'll have Lorianne joining us in just a second. And if you want to be a part of the show tonight, the number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number one on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. Lorianne, you didn't press one, so were you ready, or did you need a minute? All right, I'm going to assume Lorianne is not. There you are.
I'm here.
I would have opened your mic. I prefer to open your mic. I didn't know if you were available, because for all I know, you could be cursing at a telemarketer or trying to put your pet ferret in a cage, or maybe you're on the golden throne. I don't have a clue, so I don't open anybody's mic until they tell me.
Yep, I practiced the same thing. I just forgot to press one while I was waiting for the music to finish up, so... So hello, hello. Happy Thursday once again. How you doing? Having a good week? What's new and exciting?
Well, I wish there was exciting stuff to go over. I don't want to say I'm burned out, but it just seems like there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's stuff we already covered. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, as more and more news comes out, it just seems like it's more and more of the same when it comes to COVID crap and mandates and stuff. But, you know, on a positive note, apparently a judge has blocked Biden's desired mandate, vaccine mandates for healthcare workers. Pretty much nationwide, kind of putting a hold on it, waiting for state legislators to, you know, deal with their cases and make their judgments and things. And so it sounds like there's a judge that's kind of put a stop to it.
Well,
there's been several judges
that have said no. OSHA already said no. They're not going to do creepy's dirty work. And you had two judges already that said that it's unconstitutional to mandate these gene therapies. And now you have other courts that are saying no. And Mr. Creepy still is under the belief that it doesn't matter what a court says, that he's the king and he can do what he wants.
Oh, of course. I mean, he's got such a big head, but, you know, he can't, you know, this stuff can't go forward when more and more judges are fighting against it.
He doesn't have the big head. It's the people behind him that have the big head. I would say Barry Sotero on up, because Mr. Creepy has no clue what flavor of ice cream he's eating.
Exactly.
So it's hard to have a big head when you don't know the flavor of ice cream you're eating.
That's true. I was talking more about Fauci or Fraudy.
Oh, yes, Mr. Fraudy.
Yes. Fraudy has the biggest head in the whole mix, I think. It's, you know, he just seems to think that his word is like, you know, he should write his own Bible or something. Like, he's like that big of a deal. You know, it's.
No, I couldn't believe that when people said he should be arrested for COVID and he went on that Meet the Press, and then he called out Ted Cruz and said that Ted Cruz should be arrested because during January 6th, he asked if they could look at the potential voter fraud. So somehow Ted Cruz is in trouble for that. And Dr. Fraudy starts laughing and said, Ted Cruz, you should be arrested. Remember January 6th? Like Ted Cruz was doing something illegal at that time, like asking if we should look at voter fraud.
Oh, I know. You know, maybe Fraudy is under the impression that that's illegal somehow. But it's, you know, perfectly legal for our government to push out complete and total propaganda on United States citizens. You know, that's perfectly fine.
So while we're on the voter fraud, I want to bring this up, though. I don't know if you looked at the Gateway Pundit, but their top story is Ruby Freeman and her daughter, the ones that took part in that fake water main break in a building so they could get everybody out and then they can run the votes three and four times in the computers. And that was captured on video. She's suing the Gateway Pundit for showing that video.
What possible grounds does she have to do that? How would that be illegal?
Well, maybe she's asking for an investigation so she could be arrested. I don't know. You already got over I don't understand why you're wanting extras now.
Yeah, I'm kind of just trying to flip through this article, and it sounds like, let's see, the complaint calls among the leading purveyors of false information in the United States. The lawsuit filed in Circuit Court in St. Louis charges the Gateway Pundit, along with its founding editor Jim Hoft and contributor Joe Hoft, with knowingly fabricating and disseminating blatantly false stories about the election night conduct of Ruby Freeman and her daughter. So apparently,
I can't wait for this.
Being caught on camera is blatantly false. being caught on camera doing exactly what the Gateway Pundit reported that she was doing is blatantly false, and has led to their harassment.
See, this is like if a robber robbed a bank, and then they went back and said, "I'm going to sue you because I did not get to empty out the coin machine. I did not get to empty out Coinstar."
Yeah,
so you
inhibited my
stuff
ability
that is
to
among
totally
the most
steal.
Illegal things to do in the United States. You got away with it, and now you're going to push your luck.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Because I mean, with a civil case, then you know evidence can come out in that could backfire totally and end up with criminal charges coming out against her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to hear the exact reason why Ruby Freeman had the need to push those ballots in that machine 3 and 4 times. And why were you pulling out suitcases of prefabricated ballots? You already didn't have to go to court on this. Now you're pushing the issue.
Especially, you know, when alone and there's nobody else around. That's perfectly legit, right?
I can't wait to see what lawyer gets on this.
Probably a lawyer that's already planning to retire and so it doesn't care if they lose or not.
I hope not, but I have to feel somewhat confident here. See, I wouldn't feel confident if there wasn't video and it was just hearsay, but there's actual video. I played that video I don't know how many times a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, how can you deny it? And then how can you try to claim that you're the victim when you were busted in the act?
I mentioned Ruby Freeman in a Broccoli Man episode once even. So, this is good. Did it say in there, because I didn't see when I read the article, that they didn't say yet when the court case is going to happen, right? They just said that they sued the Gateway Pundit.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to show any actual court date assigned, but apparently Protect Democracy through its Law for Truth project represents Mrs. Freeman and Mrs.
Okay.
Moss in partnership with the law firms of Du Bois Miller LLC, Dowd Bennett LLP, and Castorf Law LLC, and Yale Law School's Media Freedom and Information Access Clinic. So it looks like there's all kinds of people that want their hands in that particular pot.
Yeah, there's all kinds of Democrat operatives. I thought you were going to say the attorneys were Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Well, they could change their name. Although, since there's multiple lawsuits, they'd have to come up with creative ways to changed their name, not exactly the same, but yeah, that surprises me, especially even Yale Law School's Media Freedom and Information Access Clinic. I've never even heard of that before. Like, what the heck is that?
Well, you have the freedom to steal an election.
Yeah, and it's the media's freedom to do that. Why? Because, you know, and you know that a lot of the stuff that comes out is just pure propaganda coming straight from the White House. Because they can, you know. There's
well,
no
and then
obligation
you got Stacey,
for the White House to be
you got
truthful
Stacey
about
Abrams
anything.
Running for governor again in Georgia, so maybe she has something to do with that as well.
Maybe. That's pretty crazy, though. I mean, that's like, I mean, you're busted on a camera set up specifically for the very reason to be able to observe everything that goes on during the counting of ballots. And, you know, it's not like that's, you know, private or classified or anything like that. So there's no justifiable reason why the Gateway Pundit did anything wrong by exposing it. But that's how you go. I mean, you know, I was watching an interesting documentary on the government's propaganda arms. And I need to actually post it on my page if it doesn't get, you know, it might get blocked, though. I'll take my chances on it, I think.
I still have 9 days, just so you know.
9 days. Oof. Okay.
That'll teach me to host about a school board meeting.
So you should be free again by Friday the 10th?
The 11th.
The 11th. Okay. So that's a Saturday.
Yes.
Interesting. Seems like forever. Oh. My God. Just like the Biden administration. Facebook jail for 30 days feels like the Biden administration. It hasn't even been a year yet. It's just like dragging on, and it seems like it's been going on forever. I can't believe it hasn't been a year yet.
I hate having to ask people to post stuff for me. That's just the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I know. Thankfully, you know, I had when I was in Facebook jail, I had made prior to that for 3 days or whatever, I had made, you know, our mutual co-host V editor on my Lucid Libertarian page, and so I felt bad for bugging her to post stuff, but she's, you know, she's pretty good about it. She's like, yeah, no problem, you know. But at least I didn't have to do it for all month.
I need you to help me at some point to create a brand new backup profile.
Yeah, that can present some challenges. Facebook has its ways. But yeah,
well, you
that's
gotta
something
go to,
that we
got to go to text now and get a burner number. But you have to do it in a way that, see, I can't do it because it's my computer and I'm in jail. So if you did it and then I logged in, then it wouldn't recognize the fact that it's on a different computer. And I would log in on my laptop, which would not have the same access as here.
Yeah, and then,
I
would have to prove it, you know, because you'll get like, you know, hey, you're logging in on a different device and need to verify and la, 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 and they do that kind of stuff.
So you have a buddy named Joe that wants to join in, so I don't but I'll go ahead and bring your friend in.
Cool, yeah, I noticed that Joe had raised his hands. I was just going to ask you if you wanted to bring him on. So, yeah, let him join us. Jojo, how you doing?
Well, I had to call in because I need my twice-a-week abuse from Lorianne or I feel neglected. How you doing, Lorianne?
I feel so flattered that you prefer my abuse over all others. I'm very flattered.
That's right. You're my priority in the abuse category. So, you know, so I'm here to find out what it is that some of you guys are talking. Proof, did you do that?
Yes, but it had an hourglass, so it didn't time out right. It took its time.
Yeah, sure did.
A delayed ha-ha. So what's going on with you?
Yeah.
What do you have to talk about? What's the latest that has your feathers ruffled, Joe?
Okay, I am going to talk about something. I don't know if I brought this up on your show on Sunday. I don't remember. But this is as much of a conspiracy as anybody can get. And I heard this on the Alex Jones show. Now, listen to this. He says that just recently, within the court proceedings, the federal court proceedings, a secret document that was discovered during discovery came to light in front of the judge. Now, listen to this. The document revealed that 50 nations, supposedly, had signed over their sovereignty to Pfizer, which meant
yes.
that Pfizer had... Yes, you heard about it?
Yeah. I knew about this a few months
okay.
ago because it came to light in Argentina where Pfizer took Argentina to court because they... Argentina said something bad about the Pfizer vaccine and they were suing to get land as compensation for bad-mouthing Pfizer.
Well, that's different than what this is. That may be part
well,
of
it's
their
Argentina,
overall
it's a nation,
agenda.
So yeah, Pfizer is suing a nation. So it's basically signing sovereignty over.
It's signing sovereignty over if they win the lawsuit. But in this particular instance, the document supposedly says that they've already signed over their sovereignty to Pfizer. No lawsuit involved.
Yeah.
They just gave it
yeah,
to
I them. Heard Alex talking about that recently, so I get that.
Yeah, so I want to know, do you guys know anything more about it? Because he went over it fairly briefly. That's about all he said. And he was saying, of course, the ramifications, which, you know, we would all extrapolate. If Pfizer was in charge of the 50 nations, including the United States, in conjunction with the United Nations, then they have control over the land, the water, the government, the laws, in fact, everything. And you have to wonder, why would nation states give up their particular sovereignty and give it over to one particular company? So I wanted to know, did you guys know anything about that?
The only thing I've heard of was the rumors that I've heard the last couple months. So other than that, I have not seen a particular document. And I'm not sure how legal that even is if you have a nation where everything has to get ratified through a Congress, the Senate, there has to be hearings on it. You can't just have a president executive order the entire nation to a company. I'm not sure how legal that exactly is. So I did not research yet because I don't understand it. That's too far out there even for me.
Yeah. Jones did say that Trump was conned into signing the agreement, didn't really know what he was signing. It was a secret treaty. If it's a secret treaty, as you were just talking about, it has to be ratified by Congress. If it was ratified by Congress, then it definitely is a secret treaty. But if it wasn't ratified by Congress, it doesn't matter what Trump signed unless Congress in some way abdicated their particular authority, like they did back in 1939, Germany. So,
yeah.
Again, Alex
That's
didn't go into any real depth about it. Yeah, and so I was hoping that somebody would know more about it. Okay. So that's the only topic
into that,
that I wanted
I didn't hear about
that
until now, but it doesn't surprise me. Like I've heard, you know, or read about, you know, some of these contracts, but not a lot of detail. Like, you know, a lot of contracts with Pfizer and all these other countries. And, you know, I can only imagine, like, what that contract would look like. I mean, just the infrastructure bill is something like 2,000 pages long. I mean, can you imagine, like, the whatever Pfizer came up with?
Yeah.
And then, you know, who's going to actually read through all that? You know, especially somebody like Biden who can barely, you know, comprehend reading a paragraph. You know?
Oh, Biden. Oh, geez. Come on. Hey, Biden, you want to read this secret contract? Sure. Oh, okay. Now, wait a minute. Is it as long as the back of a cereal box? I can read that. Yeah.
As long as it's in, like, you know, font 20. Yeah.
Yeah. And if it has, you know, captions like on a cartoon, so I can see the bubble around, above their heads, I can read that. Yeah. But anything else?
Make it into a pop-up book for him. You know, any legislation that Biden needs to sign, it needs to be in the form of a pop-up book.
It could also be in the form of a rebus where you can have, like, chicken minus six plus a cloud. You know those things I'm talking about, right? Those puzzles that have half pictures and the rest are symbols and words, and you got to put them together.
But that would be a form of a cognitive test, which we all know Biden likes to avoid.
Right. You know, he wouldn't be able to read it. He'd be looking at it and going, okay, where's Waldo? I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Somebody get me off the stage, please. Yeah. Oh, come on. Good old Joey boy. Don't think so. So, all right. So, I don't know if I haven't done any other further research into it other than what Alex said.
First, with the secret treaty was, like I said, it was when Pfizer took Argentina to court. That's when I first heard about it. But other than that, the only other time I heard about it was Alex Jones discussing, and I don't know if it's the same document. I don't know if it's something new and developing. But I did hear that 50 nations did sign in on that, but I don't know the details.
Well, yeah, like I said, I don't know either. But, I mean, doesn't it beg the question, why would nation states sign over their – you know, I could see it signing over to the cabal. Maybe the Pfizer is a representative of the cabal in a way. Yeah, I mean, I'm about to sneeze. Excuse me.
What I did, I don't know if you heard this about Pfizer this week, but you know how last week Pfizer demanded the courts seal everything to do with COVID until the year 2076?
Oh, yeah.
And a judge a couple days ago said, no, how about you start giving us 500 pages of documents every day until it's done?
Serving
up paperwork and 500 pages at a time. This way people have a chance to read it all every day, because you can't just inundate somebody with 185,406 pages and just expect them to read it in 2 days. So they figure 500 pages a day is just enough to read and to be able to comprehend it.
But that also gives them plenty of time to siphon through, you know, what they're going to disclose and what they're not going to disclose. And
no, I understand that, but what are you going to do? Because it's going to be physically impossible to read it the other way anyway. So I don't know how they structure it so that nothing gets omitted, but maybe this is a way to find out that things don't get omitted, because if something's missing and they're actually on it and they're reading, they can ask questions as they go along.
But at the same time, for example, if 185,000 pages were allowed to be downloaded, as at least you would have it on your computer, and they wouldn't have a chance to redact it or to alter it. So
I understand that. I'm just saying that's their reasoning.
Yeah. And it's better to have 500 pages a day than nothing. It's better to have the judge do something like that than have a judge say, nah, work product. Pfizer doesn't have to give out anything. And we all scratch our heads and go, wait a minute, whoa, what's going on here?
Well,
you went robot there.
Why not a thousand?
Repeat that.
Oh, I went robot. Sorry.
Yeah, you're good now.
Better? Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
I was just going to say that what is the rationale between 500 per day? Like, why not a thousand per day?
Well, that's
why
right.
Not 200 per day. Why not
a day? The 500 pages a day, they set that because that's the amount that they feel that they could read on a daily basis and be able to stomach and comprehend and to be able to ask questions, because if you give somebody more than that, they might not be able to understand it because they're too busy trying to finish reading it. That's the comprehension behind that.
Yeah, probably for agencies or for lawyers who want to dig into it, not for the common people. I would rather have the full 185,000 pages. But for people who are going to
digest it, I don't know how many pages
and then
it is.
Make comments.
I was just given a round number.
I know. Right. And for people who have to account to the court, it would be easier for them to digest 500 pages than to go through it and try to cherry pick, whatever, page 20,000, something that they didn't like, something which they have to bring up to the court. At least this way the court would know this is what they're exploring. These are the parameters, 500 pages, the first 500, then the second 500. So I can see that rationale as well for people who have a legal obligation to report to the court what's going on. For me, I want the whole goddamn kit and caboodle. I'll take a look through it.
Because then if they have to do a whole complete document dump, then it's all out there and they don't have time to go and cherry pick and modify and spin it, and that, it just gives Pfizer the opportunity for more cover-up of its practices. And by the way, I did find an article from back in October. The Washington Post posted it. In secret vaccine contracts with nations, Pfizer took hard line and pushed for profit, a report says. A new report by Public Citizen, a consumer rights advocacy group that gained access to a number of leaked, unredacted Pfizer contracts, released Tuesday, again, this is from October 19th, sheds light on how the company uses that power to shift risk and maximize profits. The Manhattan-based pharmaceutical giant has maintained tight levels of secrecy about negotiations with governments over contracts that can determine the fate of populations. The contracts consistently place Pfizer's interests before public health imperatives, said Zane Rizvi, a researcher who wrote the report. Public Citizen found common themes across contracts, including not only secrecy, but also language to block donations of Pfizer's dose. Disputes are settled in secret arbitration courts, with Pfizer able to change the terms of key decisions, including delivery dates, and demand public assets as collateral. So that's what you were saying, demanding public assets as collateral in all of these nations.
Yeah,
that's the key phrase right there.
I was about to say the last sentence is the most key one, because everything else, if that wasn't included, if that wasn't read by the normal person, then people would think, oh, well, profits, contracts, it's all about whether or not the vaccines are safe, and that would be about the extent of their reasoning, whoever would be reading it. But when you're saying land is access, then you have to ask yourself, okay, what has that got to do with the vaccine and the trials and whether or not the trials are safe and the deadlines that they may or may not agree to? So there's a hint into what's going on there with regards to what Alex Jones was saying. But Alex Jones said this particular treaty, or these treaties that the 50 nations got engaged in, it gave Pfizer total control over the nation. In other words, if the United States signed it, Biden is no longer the president. Pfizer is. Biden can only do what Pfizer wants him to do. Congress can only do what Pfizer wants them to do. That's the implication, the ramification of what Jones was talking about. That is very, very far-reaching, and that is more dangerous than whether or not the clinical trials of a vaccine are safe, which is bad enough by itself.
Yeah. On in the article, experts who reviewed the terms of contracts with foreign governments suggested that some demands are extreme. Contracts reached with Brazil, Chile, Colombia, and the Dominican Republic saw states forfeit, quote, immunity against precautionary seizure of any of their assets. It's almost as if a company would ask the United States to put the Grand Canyon as collateral, said Lawrence Gostin, a professor of public
Correct.
Health law at Georgetown University.
And therein lies what I was talking about with Argentina, because they got the same agreement, and so Argentina is trying to get back land in collateral for the someone in the Argentine government complaining about their gene therapies.
Mm-hmm. But with that, that means then that the Pfizer didn't assume total control, because if they assumed total control, there would be no such thing as a lawsuit against them, because they would be the dictators in charge. And if anybody wanted to engage in any kind of lawsuit against them, they would just call out the gendarme, whatever army that they would have complete control over, and just kill them. Or round them up, arrest them, put them in a black site and torture them. So this might be the beginning point of of total control. But the way Alex Jones was talking about it, it seems as though Pfizer already has total control. And even with partial control, even with the use of land as assets to back up the contracts, you still have to ask Congress, wait, did you guys hear anything about this? What's going on here, Paul? Jordan and McConnell, Pelosi, what the hell's going on here?
I will tell you this, though, Joe, that if Trump signed this, there's no way that Pelosi and Schumer would give him a quote-unquote win. They would have said no, because Trump said yes.
Yeah, that's what their particular agenda would have been. But as I said, he supposedly signed it by being conned into signing. In other words, he supposedly didn't really know what he was signing, but took the advice of his advisors and went ahead and signed it. So maybe Pelosi and McConnell together wanted Trump to sign this in order to keep on selling America down the river, because I'm convinced Pelosi and the rest are doing that, just signing America down the river.
Yeah, so instead of having to worry about global governments creating a new world order, you could just sign everything over to a company, and then the company can create the new world order without having any people protesting it.
Yeah. Well, they would protest it once they found out, but they would probably be delayed. Everybody'd be half dead by the time.
But, yeah, it's too late, because – you could protest in the streets all you want, but if Pfizer has the paperwork and they say they own the land, then there's not much we're going to be able to do unless we fight our way out of it.
Yeah, especially if they own the courts. You can protest, you can write your congressman, but they'll just say, well, we ratified the treaty, but we had to do it in darkness so that, because we knew you people wouldn't handle it, just like when Kennedy got shot, and they said, well, the people can't handle the truth, so we're going to keep this secret for 50 years. And then again, when the 50 years are up, they want to keep it secret for more years. So
yes.
I don't trust anybody in the government anymore, not a single congressman, not one.
Yeah, it's really disheartening, too, because it's like even when they first go in, you know, and they're, you know, and they haven't been corrupted yet, it sure seems like it doesn't take long for even a newly elected congressperson or that's, you know, never been in Congress before to become corrupted. And that's the truly sad part about it.
Yeah, the only one I could say in my lifetime that was never corrupted was Ron Paul. And that's one.
I would agree with you 98%. And the reason why 98 and it's the 2% is because he was on Meet the Press and with Tim Russert was the host. And Tim Russert pressed Ron about earmarks. Now, earmarks are secret. You don't have to disclose what the earmarks are. And Ron Paul was pressed up against the wall, and he said earmarks are necessary for the passage of bills. Now, he might have had honest earmarks in there, you know, for his constituents. But I would have thought that Ron Paul would have been against earmarks. So, maybe, you know, but if there is such a thing as an honest policy, I've always believed that Ron Paul was the best president we never had. I think he would have done a great job.
I'm right there with you. Right there with you on that.
Well,
and when it comes to earmarks, you know, it's kind of, it's one of those things where I never really fully 100% was against or, and I remember discussions with Ron Paul about about earmarks, and his position essentially was that that's the way to guarantee that his state gets the funding as part of the bill guaranteed. You know, like, you know, you're kind of saying, okay, you know, if we're passing this in my state, we'll absolutely get this portion, and you're not going to screw with us as a result. Like, you can't hold us hostage. You know, if my state does something that the federal government doesn't like, then the federal government is not going to be able to use that against us as a form of blackmail. And so I think that's kind of what his position was. I think it's not like he was that he liked earmarks. It's not that he liked doing it. It was more of a necessary evil to do in order to guarantee the funding that's being promised. Yeah, and because you know how the federal government promises and then doesn't deliver all the time.
So part of your job as a congressman, whether you like it or not, is to try to bring some money home to your particular district. Because if you brought no money home, then you're not getting votes. So
at the same time, with Ron being a Republican, actually a libertarian, he would have believed that no money should have been forthcoming because libertarians don't like to spend money from the Treasury because most of the time, 98% of the time,
it's just... Yeah, but there could be bills that he actually likes. And if every other congressman is bringing home money in their state, then it's like, well, I may as well also. So I get it. It's not that I'm in favor of it, but if you have 529 other congressmen that are getting $50 million for their particular district and you're getting zero, everybody's going to look at you like, well, what are you doing? So,
yeah, well.
Yeah, it's not like he could vote no on the bill because he didn't agree with the federal spending, generally speaking, but still earmark it so that when it does pass, it's allocated the way it should be. And I think that was like his methodology, you know, is I'm not going to vote for this bill because I don't agree with it, but I'm going to earmark shit that's in the bill to make sure that if it passes, the federal government allocates it to my, you know, my district anyways. And so I think that was his approach on a lot of things. I mean, he didn't
get the
name Dr. No for no reason.
That is actually needed. Like, if Ron Paul is in a district, say he's in Texas, and there could be hurricane and flood money, that might be $4 million. You might want that earmarked so that you can make sure you get that $4 million for flood insurance and hurricane repairs. So it's not always pork. Earmarks are different than pork.
Now, earmarks may be different than pork, but earmarks generally are pork.
No, I understand the way that. I'm just trying to say it's not always the case.
Right. But the way the Loring, see, I didn't hear him express it as well as Loring Ann did just now.
Mm-hmm.
The way you did a Loring Ann, it makes me feel better. But I did form a coalition for Ron back in 2007, and I'm still glad that I did. I just wish that he hadn't, you know, he was elected, but, well.
And, you know, with the way politics is now, I mean, and like I said, it's like one of those things where he might not agree with the spending, but just like how he doesn't agree with the Department of Education, but that doesn't mean as a representative of a congressman in a state of Texas that, you know, okay, well, if we're going to have the Department of Education control everything, even though I don't agree with it, I still want to make sure that my district is represented and gets, you know, the allocated funds. Because that's what the taxpayers are paying. You know, they're paying, you know, federal tax dollars are going into the Department of Education. And that makes the federal government liable for funding the states to comply with it. You know, so it's kind of one of those catch-22s that I think that even as president, would be limited as far as what he could really do. Because I don't see, like, Ron Paul, if he were president, to be signing, what, how many executive orders now? I mean, I just don't see him being an executive order kind of president.
Yeah,
you know?
Didn't Brandon sign more executive orders in his first year than any other president has done in their 4 or 8 year term?
He signed more in his
pretty
first
sure,
47
yeah.
days.
Yeah, I mean, I think in his first like 100 days, he did like as many as Obama did in like his first whole term, you know. It's just unprecedented.
Yeah, he still doesn't know what he signed. They just, you know, shoved it under his nose. Hey, Joe, this is the menu for today's lunch. Could you sign this? Oh, yeah, sure, why not? Hey, they wipe my butt. They wipe my butt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, so long as he gets his butt wiped, he doesn't care.
Yeah,
it's a photo opportunity. They can just set up a stage in his basement to make it look like he's in the White House while he signs it. Just like when he took his phone shot.
Yeah. God, oh, did you hear? Oh, you talk about another conspiracy theory. Ah, here's one that Wayne Allen Root is throwing out there. He's believing, just like the House of Cards, if you guys ever saw the series House of Cards before they got Kevin Spacey off of it, it's about how you can become president without being elected.
Yes.
So, Wayne Allen Root, he's throwing out the hypothesis that, you know, eventually Hillary is going to become the vice president and then maybe even the president without even being elected.
And then they're talking about having Michael Robinson Obama, who's a very nice lady, to be the vice president under the VAG.
If that's the case, then why don't we just get into our lifeboats?
How they want Michael to be the nominee in 2024.
Yeah, I heard that a while back. I heard that Obama actually wanted Hillary in there and not Joey Boy, because he has something on Hillary and says that she would be easier for him to influence. Now, then again,
the entire military industrial complex wanted Hillary in office.
Brandon in there because Brandon is so corrupted and doesn't know what he's doing. He'll say yes to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I almost feel sorry for the but Hillary, I guess Hillary, let me see. She's been waiting for the White House since she was the First Lady of Arkansas. That was back in the 90s. She got ripped off by Obama the first time, lost the election to Trump the second time. I'm surprised she wasn't driving the truck that ran over the kids in the Wisconsin parade. Instead of
You mean that SUV malfunction?
Right. It was the SUV that did it, not the driver. And it wasn't even a malfunction, they had said. It was caused by the SUV. Well, duh, because somebody was driving it.
Yeah, exactly. God. You know, just like Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin is trying to claim that he didn't pull the trigger. That's his latest claim now. Yeah, he didn't actually pull the trigger, apparently. I'm like, okay, well, how does a gun fire if you don't pull the trigger? Yeah. And if it doesn't have a round loaded in it? You know, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, so
you know what? They had a teaser because they had a partial transcript because the interview is going to be released, I think, this Sunday. But they had a partial transcript, and here he is in front of Stephanopoulos, and just like as you're saying, he said he did not pull the trigger. So Stephanopoulos said, "What do you think happened?" And then they end the transcript right there. They don't give the full interview.
Yeah.
So I'm going, what the hell are you teasing me with this shit for? You know, of course, to get me to watch the interview. But, man.
Yeah, that's
I tried looking for the full interview on. Yeah, you know, I know that's going to be a highly rated show. I did not pull the trigger. Huh? How did it fire? How did it misfire? Oh,
exactly.
That's like, it's like, who killed JR? That's
who killed JR?
You guys remember that? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like first it's, you know, the producer, the assistant producer's fault, you know. And, you know, so he's blaming everybody else, and then that doesn't work. And so now his story is changing to, I didn't actually pull the trigger, and somehow the gun just went off by itself, you know, like, I'm sorry, but, you know, for, like, almost 10 years, I've had two guns in this house, and they've never accidentally gone off by themselves.
Oh, come on, Lorianne. You know that when you were
asleep,
I got off the gun rack. And they started walking around like on Christmas Day, and one of them
like
shot
Toy
off.
Story or
went.
Something. Yeah. Instead of Toy Story, it's now Toy Story.
Yes.
You know. Oh man.
I did not pull
the trigger.
They come to life when everybody goes to sleep.
Right.
Beware! Here, don't take a nap. Your guns might come to life and just start randomly firing.
And don't be there after midnight.
I wish all I had to do was pour water on my guns so that they could replicate and multiply. I wish it was that simple.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be nice. Yeah. You know, the other way that a gun can misfire is if the firing pin is pulled back and then it goes forward. So I want to know if he's going to say, I didn't have my finger on the trigger, but I had my thumb on the hammer, and somebody bumped into me, and my thumb fell off the hammer. The hammer slid right by, hit the fire in the firing pin, hit the casing, and that's what happened. But it wasn't me.
And of course, it was his assistant producer that he's blaming for everything.
Yeah.
that's
going to be interesting. Yeah, you know.
He bumped me. That's
how it is. You know, he bumped me, you know. And he said, he did say in the transcript, I would never point a gun at somebody on the set, a loaded gun on the set. And he also said there weren't supposed to be any bullets on the set as well. So I guarantee you, Stephanopoulos is going to have the highest rated show ever this coming Sunday.
Yeah. So, and I'm not saying Alec Baldwin intentionally put bullets in the gun or anything, but somebody did. Maybe somebody set Alec Baldwin up. I don't have a clue.
And according to gun safety, anybody and everybody who handles the gun, even after they've gotten it from the third person who took a look at the gun and knew that it was empty, you still have to open up the take a look at the chambers, take a look at the cylinders, make sure that everything is safe, put the safety on, and that's what you're supposed to do. But who's to say that if you are the fourth person who got that particular gun, that the fourth person, forget about whether or not it's Alec Baldwin, the fourth person is going to check the gun out. Because don't you think that if you're the fourth person, that you would automatically trust the other three people to have done it?
But let me ask you this, just to play a different scenario here. What if the guy on the set that was there to put the gun on the set, what if they took a break and when everybody walked away, they put some bullets in it while nobody was looking?
Fully possible.
Well, for somebody to do that, it would have to be planned so that somebody would have to accidentally fire the gun. Because no bullets were supposed to be on that set, according to Alec
Baldwin. Exactly.
Well, I'm not saying that Alec Baldwin is
100% at fault here, but he has to, if he really did not mean to do what actually happened, he's going to have to plead his case and just tell the truth and hope that it checks out, because if you're holding the gun that shot somebody, you can't say you didn't do it.
Well, the vast majority
of the way out would be foul play, because if there was not supposed to be any bullets in it, and it's reasonable that if you were doing this scene a few times and the director said, okay, we're going to take 30, and everybody's going off the set to smoke cigarettes and whatever, and come back, and if you put the gun exactly, if the gun is where you put it exactly 30 minutes before, you're not going to check to see if anybody messed with it. You're going to assume everybody took a break and it was clean when I went to break. You wouldn't think that somebody would go in there and do something dirty. So if he was truthful in this, he's just going to have to say it, and somebody's going to have to be called out for what transpired, and hope for the best.
But even if he made a bad assumption, that still makes him liable, you know, that still makes him negligible.
Well, it's kind of a gray area, but you're better off saying that in court so that you can have somebody actually hear you. But to say, I didn't do it, nobody's going to listen to that. So you have to tell exactly your side of the story if you're innocent. Because like I said, it's reasonable if there was a 30-minute break on the set and everybody left the scene to go smoke or whatever and then came back and did the scene, it's reasonable to expect that everybody was off the set and nobody would mess with the gun. Why would you I'm not saying you shouldn't, but it's reasonable to say I'm not going to check the gun because everybody just took a break and I left it exactly where it was.
Yeah, I mean, I would, if I were in that situation, I wouldn't take a look at it. I mean, if I checked it before I put the gun down, everybody went for a break, why would I want to check it again? Maybe out of habit. That doesn't mean that a person would. I may or may not, and if I didn't, then I wouldn't blame myself. But I don't know if I would come up with the story. I didn't pull the trigger, because that means that the phantom gun went off.
See, what I'm saying, my explanation sounds more plausible than I didn't do it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, if they had that, yeah, if that's what happened. I mean, if somebody, if he put the gun down, everybody went on the break, then you can't, I wouldn't blame him. But I still would want to find out why I didn't pull the trigger. I mean, if it's, if he left the gun on a table, then picked it up a half an hour later, he could pull the trigger, and I still would not hold him liable. That meant that if he checked it before he put the gun down, all of a sudden there's a gun in the chamber. Holy shit, he was set up. And then
why was he saying that on day one? If I knew that I didn't do it and it happened on my watch, I would be all over the place saying I don't know what happened and I was set up and I'd be demanding some
exactly.
some video and such. So he didn't do that.
Yeah. So there was another situation other than putting the gun down and coming back a half an hour later, apparently. I'm thinking that he got the gun from the prop guy. He pointed it at the person who died and pulled the trigger. But he's saying, no, this is going to be one tap dance. I have heard people tap dance around a question before. I want to hear this one. Because Stephanopoulos, he did follow up and said, then what do you think happened? If you didn't pull the trigger, what happened? His hand was the only hand on the gun. So, you know, hey.
Well, then the next thing he wants now, too, is now he is calling for a police officer to be required to be on any film set where even, like, prop firearms will be used. He wants to occupy police officer. And it's like, and the fallacy with that is that, you know, there's supposed to always be an armorer on set whenever firearms are used, and you know that's their job to make sure that everything's safe, that there's not live rounds, to you know, check the guns and all that kind of stuff. And so they already have an armorer, you know, doing that job. And so to occupy police officers to do this doesn't make much sense. And then on top of it, you know, an armorer that they hire on set usually is somebody that's fired more rounds out of a gun than a police officer ever has in their entire career. You know, police officers are not required to spend nearly enough time at the shooting range. You know, a lot of police officers, aren't very good at shooting their firearms, you know, and accurately hitting people. You know, and some of them don't even, you know, follow their own protocols and things like that either. So it's just like, if you're wanting somebody with a lot of experience to oversee these things, a police officer isn't exactly the right person. Their whole job is not firearm safety. Their whole job constitutes all kinds of things as a police officer. But an armorer's job, their one and only job is firearm safety. That's it. That's what they devote their entire career to. So if I'm going to choose between a police officer being on set and a trained, experienced armorer being on set, I'll go with hiring the armorer, hands down.
Yeah, but the average person has no clue what an armorer even is.
Well, that's where the education needs to come to play. You know, the average
person. Yeah, I was about to say
they'd
find out real quick. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and the average person needs to understand that a law enforcement officer's job is not devoted 100% to firearm safety. You know, that their job entails all kinds of stuff. You know, and so, and they need to be freed up. We don't need to be, you know, we have enough problems with the police being targeted for defunding police being targeted for all kinds of, you know, all kinds of things already. We don't need to be occupying them by putting them on movie sets all day long instead of doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is their job out on the street and, you know, and getting criminals off the street and stuff like that, you know, and patrolling or whatever, you know, whatever their job is. You know, they just don't need to be wasting resources like that. And that comes on the state, you know what I mean, too. So it's like, you know, why are you going to, you know, when there's plenty of private places to go to that will provide that service much better than a police officer ever would, because that's not what they sign up for. You know, no police officer dreams about becoming a police officer so that they can sit on a movie set all day. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not what they do.
And the a stat that I heard years and years and years ago was that the average cop only draws his gun twice throughout his career. So,
yeah, if you remember our regular caller Vito, he said during his cop career he only drew his gun twice.
Who is that proof?
We have a regular caller named Vito that calls in once a week.
Vito, yeah? Does he have his own show?
No. No, he just calls in because he likes the Proof Negative show.
All right. Because there's a guy named Vito Esposito, I think it is. He's a volunteer for the debate that I may be putting together.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How's that coming along? I did ask one of my lefty friends, but he wasn't interested in being a part of a debate.
Oh, he wasn't,
unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I was like, hey, you'd be a good person because he's pretty level-headed. I've known him for a long time. So I knew he'd be a good person if he was agreeable. But he also said, you know, hit me up with you. You know, if I get more details, he might be open to changing his mind. So I might hit him up again whenever I get more details from you and see if maybe I can coax him into doing it.
Well, there's more to it than just saying, hey, would you guys like to debate? It actually has there are logistics involved. I'm going to have to coordinate what the particular documents that everybody's going to read from, because I want a real debate. I'm not talking about the normal debate where somebody stands up for 5 minutes, then the other person stands up for 5 minutes, and they ask each other a couple of questions for a few minutes, and then they talk some more, and then they decide who wins the debate by polling the audience, and the greatest percentage within the audience that changes their mind from the time they heard the debate to the end of the debate, that makes that particular debate of the winner. I don't want to do that. As you know, I want to do it according to the way that the Supreme Court handles its proceedings. Somebody can be in front of the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will just interrupt just to keep the line of questioning, the line of thought on track. So, and then finding out who's got the time to do it on which particular dates. And I anticipate people dropping out anyway, because I'm going to have to write up instructions if I go with this and let them know that I'm going to be very firm about this interrogatory debate that's being held the same way the Supreme Court does. That means that people will be interrupted. People don't like to be interrupted, but it's going to be too bad, Charlie. That's the way it's going to be done. And if you don't like it, don't show up. So there might be a lot of people who say, yeah, now, but may not show up, even if they give a date that they say is agreeable to them. So I don't know if I'll ever put it together, but if I do, that's the way it's going to be done.
Sounds like a good plan. And, when people think of debate, you know, they don't really think about actually being evidence-based and talking facts, not
That's right.
emotion. And that's what you're geared toward is, you know, whatever comes out of your mouth, you need to have a source to back that up. And it needs to be
I'll put that in the instructions. I'm going to say you need to have evidence as irrefutable as possible, verifiable, credible evidence. And a lot of people, when they make their claims, they usually don't have the evidence in front of them, and whatever evidence that they feel is evidence actually isn't. It's probably just a newspaper article that they read or a web article that they read, and that's about it.
Exactly. You know, it's, you know, oh, no, I might actually have to put some effort into this and not just talk out of my ass. Forget about it.
I know. So that's why I'm saying I don't know if I want to put in the effort just to have, out of the six people that I already have, five of them drop out after I go through all the effort. You know, I can do my own critical thinking. I don't really have to hear both sides. It'd be interesting to find out because when you do listen to both sides, get engaged in arguments that aren't, you know, out of everybody's ass, you can learn something. You can think somebody can introduce an idea that you did not think of before. So it's good to have it for those reasons. But, you know, if I were waiting for the debate, I would say, yeah, cool. But since I'm the one that's arranging the debate, it's going to take a little bit of effort and have people drop out or not and think that I'm not going to enforce the interrogatory model. And, well, they're going to be out of luck because I'll be muting people. And if I have to mute five people out of six who do show up, what kind of show is it? You know? So it's going to take work to let people know. This is a different type of debate. You will be interrupted. You need evidence. It has to be as irrefutable as possible. You will have to have the documents in front of you. The other side will have your documents. You will have their documents. And you can debate the validity of each other's arguments with me as a moderator. And no, you will not meander. You will not wander off. And then if you say, well, just let me finish my point, I may say, I'm sorry. No, we have to move on. And people are not going to like that.
That's the way to do it. Well, good luck. And keep me posted on that, too, if you get closer. And then I can still, you know, there's still a couple people that I might reach out to that might be interested that are lefties. Because I know, you know, in our circles, we have a lot of conservative people that would raise our hands that we know of. I got to tell you, I mean, you know, I have been an admin of a political debate group where we require that too. You know, if you make a claim of fact, if you make a claim,
mm-hmm.
then it's part of our group rules that if you're asked to source that claim, you need to source it. And it's really hard to, you know, to find lefties that want to actually do that. You know, the group is for everybody, but it's predominantly conservative-leaning because for that reason. It seems like it's only the conservatives that are willing to back up what they say with a source. And the liberals just don't really want to do that. You know, and we also have a rule in the group that we're very strict about, like, YouTube videos and stuff. You know, they need to be, like, legitimate interviews, you know, legitimate statements, you know, like a YouTube video of Psaki or whatever, you know, at a White House press
right.
briefing or, you know, that kind of thing, not just some, you know, random nobody that's just spewing out a bunch of opinion and you're going to use that as your source of facts. And no, we're picky about that. You know, it's just that kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, you know, we actually make people put some effort into their debates and in their posts. You know, you're not just going to spam the group with a bunch of memes and think that that's debate, you know. That's another one of the rules. We don't do debate by meme here, you know. And,
well, for you,
yeah, one of those things.
Well, is this post, is this, you know, typed input, or is this done vocally? This is the way BPR does it.
I'm sorry?
Is this your group, when you have your own particular debates and discussions, is it done by people inputting it by computer, or is it done vocally, like on BTR, like what we're doing now?
Oh, it's a Facebook group. So it's all, you know, typing and, you know, posting and typing. Yeah, so it's a Facebook political debate group, and we try to make it an actual debate group. One of the few out there, instead of, you know, just trolls and spamming and BS, you know. And
well, you know, I've also I've also told people if my idea is, you know, inspires them to have the debate, let them have the debate before mine. If you want me to be the moderator, cool. If you, if the person who arranges the debate, if they want to be the moderator, that's cool too. So, but again, the first question should always be, why do you believe what you believe? Where's the evidence? If you believe this particular evidence, then how come you can't believe the other side? Their evidence is just as credible. So it's going to be diving, getting into the weeds until it finally gets to the rabbit hole. And people generally don't like that. They don't mind being questioned on the surface. But they continue to dive into, well, what makes what you think accurate? Don't you believe that the other side also, from what you've just heard, don't you think they have a good point? See, and it would involve a lot of critical thinking. And people aren't used to that.
No, they're not. They're not used to having to be accountable. And, like, as a matter of fact, I can't remember if I mentioned it already or not, but maybe I did on Sunday. I can't remember. But there's a lefty group that I got banned from because, you know, I was talking about the Rittenhouse case. And I was being factual, you know. I was being totally factual. I wasn't name-calling, nothing like that. And the person that I was debating...
Right.
Got all bent out of shape, and he called me a Karen cracker. He called me a Karen cracker. And so,
so I screenshotted it,
and I was like, and I reported it to the group admins, not to Facebook, but to the group admins. And I also reached out to one of the admins that I know. And I'm like, is this allowed here in this group? You know, I was talking facts, and this guy apparently couldn't handle it, and he called me a Karen cracker. And they banned me for it, and no explanation, no explanation at all. So I get called a Karen cracker, and I get banned.
All right, can I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I sent this article to you earlier, and it's relevant because this happened in a China Mart in Oregon. So there's a guy that literally was wearing multiple scams on his face at the same time, and he's going around taking pictures of people that are not wearing scams so he could report them. And he ended up taking a picture of a little girl, and the dad was not having it. And it's about 3.5 minutes. I want to play this for you.
Yes, please do.
Hey, guy, tell me why you were taking pictures of me and my daughter.
Excuse me?
Why were you taking pictures of me and my daughter? I want to know. Please tell me. Just tell me and I'll leave you alone.
So I can stay alive.
Tell me and I'll leave you alone. Tell me with your six masks. Can you just tell me?
So I can stay alive, please.
So you can stay alive? That's why you're taking pictures of my minor daughter?
Can you please?
He was taking pictures of me and my minor daughter.
Can I
No, because you felt brave taking pictures, but now you want to run. Yeah, you look scared now, huh?
Yeah,
you're real brave now, aren't you?
Here he is, everybody. Here's the man that took a picture of my minor daughter because he said he was scared.
because she didn't have a mask on. Because she didn't have a mask on. So you,
mask,
so you think it's okay to take pictures of my little girl?
I took a picture because you weren't wearing a mask. I deleted it. You know that.
Sir.
So leave me alone, please.
No.
This is incredible. Here, we'll make more room for you, man. That's like 9 feet right there. You're free to go. No one's stopping you. Yeah,
and
because
you
started this, man. If you didn't want this smoke, then you shouldn't have started it.
You didn't.
Like, look at how afraid he is of COVID, guys. Holy cow! Look at how frightened he is.
Immunity a threat, but
really, you're vaccinated?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are? Because I already have natural immunity.
Yeah.
You're not going to follow me around in the store and point at me to people, so I will video you.
So we have a state regulation that.
And it's not a law. You're an idiot.
No. Oh. So you're going to insult me now? So my wife
leave
is
her
a.
Alone.
Leave her alone.
Oh, is she?
What are you doing?
This is between
the two of us.
So what? Leave her alone. You got your mask on. You're safe. I'm sure you're vaccinated, too. He has a badge that says it.
I do. So my wife is a doctor who specializes in infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do you think that she just doesn't know what she's talking about?
It's her choice. It's her choice. Just leave her alone.
No, there's a store requirement and a state requirement. It's not her choice.
It's a mandate.
It's all of our job as a community to come together and make sure that people are
shamed. You're not even talking. You're going around to harass people.
And make sure that people are shamed.
He was following me. He won't leave me alone.
Yeah, you're making a bad decision. You're a bad American.
I am. I totally am. And I voted for Trump.
Yeah, you're a bad person.
Me too.
You're a bad person for doing this.
He's not a bad person because my mom was vaccinated and still ended up in the hospital with COVID. It's her choice.
Yeah, well, very unusual.
Probably.
Are you saying that she just makes this stuff up?
Probably. She has a choice, and you have a choice.
Yeah, well, the store has a policy, the state has a policy. You're putting the community at risk.
You're being harassing.
You don't know about
he even has a badge on that says it. He's been following me around the store yelling at me. Are you serious? Yes. These ladies have been very supportive.
So yeah, that's your people out there, Lorianne, in Oregon.
Oh yes, something for me to be so proud of. It's unreal.
Yeah,
that's got to be for
the ultra liberals just openly badgering those who are not compliant, and they don't even know why they're compliant. They're just. It's like they're playing Simon Says, and they're upset that somebody is not winning with them.
You would think that even though the liberals, and you know their flavor of the month mantra is, of course, follow the science, that they would know by now that the vaccinated people are shedding and transmitting just as much as those as who aren't vaccinated.
Yes,
so,
but if you remember, though, that as long as Mr. Creepy says it and as long as Barry Satoro and Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady, and Dr. Fraudy, as long as they're saying it, then that overrules your personal thoughts.
Well, it probably will for a lot, but it's still people still have to scratch their heads and say, yeah. But the science said that if I were to get vaccinated, I wouldn't get it and I wouldn't transmit it. But now that I've gotten vaccinated, you're telling me that I can get it and I can transmit it? What else are you going to tell me that I cannot trust? However, I don't blame people in America. And I've done my own shows on this for the normal American to be stupid. Because that's the purpose of being propagandized. When you're infected with the propaganda, they take away your power to think. That's the purpose of it, to turn you into whatever drone they want you to be turned into, but a non-thinking one. So that's just the way it is.
Yep, that's the point. And... You know, since 2013, our government is allowed to unleash as much propaganda as it wants to on us. And they work with the media. They work with, media groups and to disseminate their propaganda. And it's like the way of the world now. I mean, and there's a reason why Trump, has continuously picked up that phrase of fake news, because that's exactly what it is. Since 2013, when propaganda was no longer just for, convincing people in Iraq to love America, in foreign nations, it was turned on upon our own country and our own citizens domestically. And so that's one of the things that Trump was fighting against, was this fake news, this propaganda machine that is circulating around. And, so when he says fake news, it isn't just a catchphrase. It's an actual real thing that he was fighting against. And I'm trying to I've got to look up the act that made that legal, because prior to 2013, it was only legal for the federal government to disseminate propaganda, in foreign countries. And I'm forgetting the name of the act that made it legal to do it domestically.
Even though it's supposedly legal to be done here, still against, I think, the Fourth Amendment. So I don't care how legal they make it.
So, Lorianne, I wanted to play this for you because this one literally finished yesterday. This Broccoli Man, I call it Broccoli Man, even though Broccoli Man has nothing to do with this. But it's called Barry Solves Today's Issues. So they have a character that looks, they say it's Barry Satoro. And I put him on a talk show set, and he answers all these questions, so you can get the liberal answers. And this is where every liberal gets their answers from. So I wanted to share this. So let me know when you have it pulled up.
And then who is the interviewer mimicking?
Nobody in particular. I just put
Nobody
a random character
okay.
there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know who you might be targeting as being the liberal interviewer.
Nobody. So if you're ready, I'll do a countdown here for you.
All right, perfect.
Is that yes?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Hi, everyone. We are here today with Barry Satoro. We are going to talk about how to solve today's problems in America. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. I am so sorry my husband Michael Robinson could not make it.
Yes, I know. She is a very nice lady.
Why does everyone love her?
Anyway, how can we fix the high inflation rate that has affected the United States economy?
That is a very good question. If we practice social distancing, we can get our finances under control. Because Americans refused social distance, prices have been going through the roof. Everyone is angry. I am also angry about the high prices. If we can get everyone to socially distance, then the economy will return to normal.
I can see that. If we can socially distance more, we can get the economy open again.
That's right, Lisa. The key to fixing the inflation rate is socially distancing.
I agree, Barry. How do you think we can fix the economy? It was roaring and doing extremely well until Brandon took over in January 2021. Do you have any suggestions for how Americans can feel more confident in the current economic climate?
The solution is very simple, Lisa. Not everyone has received their gene therapy yet. Once we get to a 100% vaccination rate, we can reopen our economy. We are going to pay more for everything in the empty store shelves because some dumbass Trump supporters and people skeptical of our healthcare system refuse to get their gene therapy. Once we can figure out how to forcefully make sure everyone gets a gene therapy against their will, we will all be a lot better off.
How do you think we can give Americans more confidence to feel good about playing Russian roulette?
That's where you have it wrong, Lisa. Americans do not have to feel confident. They just have to go out there and do it. Almost 3 people will die so we can save almost 1 person. That is the sacrifice we need to maintain to get our economy back again in a favorable manner. It is the patriotic thing to do. Anyone not willing to risk their life needs to be executed, unless they are the 1%.
Seems some good news for us right now. The flu is down 99%. We've almost eradicated the flu. Pneumonia is down over 97%. Do you have any reasons why we are doing so well with our healthcare system?
Yes, Lisa. Flu and pneumonia have almost been eliminated from society because everyone is wearing scams on their face. Forcing everyone to wear scams has gotten rid of almost every common disease. Less people are in hospitals and are sick because we have forced everyone to wear scams. Even inside your home, if you live with another person or one of you left your home that day, everyone needs to wear a scam in the house all day for at least 3 days.
That is great insight, Barry. At the same time as the flu cases dropping over 99%, COVID numbers are always rising. How do you think we can fix the COVID numbers?
That is also an easy solution. The reason the COVID numbers are up is because not enough people are wearing scams on their face. People think it is okay to not wear a scam at all times. If we got more people to always wear scams on their faces, we can make COVID go away.
So, the flu is down because everyone wears scams. But COVID numbers are rising because people are not wearing scams?
Yes, that is correct, Lisa.
What can you tell people that buy a box of scams? And the box of scams says warning. These scams do not protect against COVID. Do not use on an everyday prolonged use. How can people still wear scams and feel healthy?
I tell people all the time, look, do not read the fine print on the packages of scams. Wearing a scam is the best thing you can do to protect yourself and others. When there is a worldwide virus everyone can get that is the most deadly of our time, are you really worried that your cloth mask with pictures of hot dogs on it is not going to protect you? Of course it is going to protect you. Wearing any scam will protect you from any virus or bioweapon out there today. Don't you want to be safe? Whoever reads warning labels on products are just Neanderthals and dumb Trump supporters. They probably spend their nights listening to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
I agree, Barry. Everyone needs to stop listening to conspiracy theories and not read any research or warning labels.
Yes, Lisa. Everyone needs to only watch fake news. If you do not watch anything that is not state-run media, you are hurting our economy, our healthcare, or any other cause we are working on. We believe in freedom, so we can take away your freedom. The Constitution is just an outdated piece of GD paper. We must rise against the Bill of Rights. They are oppressive.
Our foreign policy has been failing in 2021. Countries are not taking Brandon seriously. Civil wars are about to start. How can we fix this?
Trust me. The key to having a sound foreign policy is to make sure that we as Americans get our kids vaccinated. If we can get all the kids age 2 to 12 with all their gene therapies and their boosters, it will solve almost all our problems. Countries are not respecting Brandon because too many Americans are not willing to get their infants the latest mandatory gene therapy.
I could not have said it better myself. Too many parents still believe they have control and rights over their children.
You're correct, Lisa. Our education system is failing because parents do not want their kids being taught critical race theory. If we do not teach them all white people and everyone else who does not vote Democrat is evil, then we will have a world full of racists. We must teach people that they are racist based solely on their skin color, else we will be developing more race hating and division. Remember what Brandon said on day one, that is going to unite half of America? Well, he is doing that. If you are a Democrat voter, listen to every I say, what Brandon says, and Dr. Frotti demands we do, then you are the exact global citizen we want to pander to. If you do not appreciate or vote for Brandon, or my husband Michael, or every Democrat every single time, you are the domestic terrorist we need to get rid of. If your spouse or child died from a gene therapy and you are not happy about it, we will not cater to you domestic terrorists. If you're a parent that has any complaints about their schools, or a person that complains about anything any Democrat is doing in government, we will need to have the United States military blast down your door. We will need to put you in a re-education camp and turn you into sheep that follow or Pied Pipers. It's 2022 now and time to fully obey government and get your quantum dot tattoo so we can usher in the mark of the beast.
What can you say to those people out there not willing to accept a small little mark on their wrist?
I say they are crazy fools who refuse to trust the science. You will not be able to buy, sell, or work without getting this mark that proves you're a global citizen. I'm going to get this mark. You should too so you can participate in society. Only people that are worried about guns announcing you are throwing you in a lake of fire are a bunch of rubes. Anyone who is read or believes the Book of Revelation are the exact people we are going to stamp out of society. They are hurting our chances of having a one-world government.
We are up against a commercial break, Barry. Can you please say hello to your husband, Michael, for me? She is a very nice lady.
Yes, I can do that. Thank you for having me.
Barry Sotomayor, everyone. Coming up after the break, another 1% globalist puppet who is also going to help us promote New World Order complete A-G-E-N-D-A-D-O-N-T go any place. We need to keep you on our Democrat plantation.
All right, so I hope I explained the government answers in that situation, because it doesn't matter what the question is, the solution is always wear a scam, get a gene therapy,
and
bash Trump supporters, and socially distance.
Yes. Can't forget the socially distancing, because, you know, that's important, just like that guy in Portland that takes pictures of everybody that isn't wearing a mask, that isn't socially distancing enough, like, 9 feet away wasn't good enough for that guy.
Did your friend fall asleep?
Joe, wake up. It wasn't even 20 minutes. It was only 8 minutes.
I heard snoring, so I'm going to throw him in the pond.
Yeah, see if he splashes around a little bit and comes back awake.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Hey,
anyway,
Joe. Have a good nap. Call on Sunday on my house.
I don't know what else you wanted to get into here tonight, but I have a bunch of stuff. But I also wanted to see if I could take a time out. My wife just got
home.
Yeah,
we probably should take a – we probably are due for a commercial break or overdue for it. So do you want me to handle the commercial break for you? Or?
Yeah, if you don't mind, my wife got home a few minutes ago and I wanted to say hi.
Sure, I can definitely do that for you.
All right. So we'll be right back, everyone.
Yep, stay tuned, you guys. Don't go anywhere. We are just going to play some ads here real quick, and we'll get back to you in about 5 minutes or so.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
You realize there's something really wrong with our world. Things are not adding up. Well, you came to the right place. Tune in to the Right View Radio Show on Freedomizer Radio every Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with your host, Jumana, where we connect the dots, uncover the truth, and expose those who are trying to usher in the New World Order.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian Flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, government overreach, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also check out my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook, and as always, like and follow it. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at CoachChristy.com. That's CoachChristie.com.
Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot as Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the Barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you.
We've taught the world to sing in perfect harmony. Just drink Coke, the road to obesity.
At Coke, we say we're woke. We sell drinks bad as smoke. China is our labor supplier that drives our stock price.
Alrighty, everybody, we are back. You are listening to the Proof Negative Show. I am the co-host, Lori Ann, and I believe Proof is ready to go as well. Are you there?
I think so.
Well, good. If it's not you, if it's your ghost, that's fine too, so long as your ghost can speak for you.
Okay. All right, so what's next here? I know I have some stuff.
Let's see. You know, real quick in local news, I happened to catch this today. The headline is Oregon reports 42 new coronavirus deaths as case totals near 400K. And I'm reading through this, and of course, near the bottom of the article is where they talk about the OHA COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough report. So today, Thursday, the OHA released its weekly coronavirus vaccine breakthrough report. From November 21st to November 27th, there were a total of 4,134 new COVID-19 cases reported. Of those, 71.3% of cases occurred in unvaccinated people. That's, of course, you know, you got to be fully vaccinated, right? And that means that 28.7% of the cases were breakthrough cases. So far, there have been 45,545 COVID-19 breakthrough documented cases. 45,545 breakthrough cases. All throughout Oregon, meaning they've been fully vaccinated and they've still gotten them, out of those breakthrough cases, 4.4% have been hospitalized and 1.2% have died. So, you know, you compare that. Those numbers aren't looking so good. I'm sorry for the vaccine. It really isn't, because when you look at overall cases, you know, before the shots were even available, 1.2% dying is a pretty high number. And that's just the breakthrough cases. That's, you know, that's a disturbingly high number for a so-called vaccine that we're supposed to have so much faith in. You agree?
So I want to piggyback on that, actually, because Twitter just recently went through a change where they went from Jack Dorsey to a downright definitely loud communist activist that openly admits that it's hunting season on white people and conservatives. So the American Heart Association gave a warning that there are heart-related issues to this gene therapy. And so Twitter says that the American Heart Association's warning about the gene therapy is unsafe and fake news.
Yes, I
the
saw
American
that.
The American Heart Association put this out. And they're telling everybody that the number one people that know about heart health just lied.
Yep, that's all fake. You know, it's so funny how, you know, they'll take the very sources that, you know, if that same Heart Association had said the opposite, then of course that would be total fact. You know, but if they say anything against these COVID shots, then, oh my God, that's got to be fake news. That's not legitimate. And then they'll, you know, send all their troops out to, you know, their bots out to combat that. They really, really, really do not want people to know. And Facebook does the same thing.
Right.
You know, I had the same thing slapped on me when I was quoting directly from the FDA website, directly from the CDC website. And they slapped, you know, fake information on me and restricted my page for it. You know, so, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, so are we supposed to trust them or not?
You know? Oh, and by the way, speaking of which, since we're bringing up SpyBook, that they finally yesterday agreed that if you say that you're in favor of Kyle Rittenhouse or that Kevin Rittenhouse was not guilty, that they're not going to punish you anymore for that.
Yes, I did just see them. You know, it took them enough time. And, you know, my question for that is, okay, so great, you're lifting that restriction. You're not going to punish us anymore for being in support of Kyle Rittenhouse being found not guilty. But, you know, how many people out there are still restricted as a result of it? How many pages, how many people's profiles have been dinged, and, you know, for doing that while that was in place? You know, and then, of course, you know, they're not going to lift any of those. They're not going to give my page or, you know, my Lucid Libertarian page or my own any flexibility, you know. They're not going to take that, you know, they're going to keep that mark against you despite this, is what I'm saying. It's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I wonder what else they're finally going to they're finally going to give up on. Because obviously they're doing school board meetings. So maybe next year's school board meetings will be the thing where
you're finally
where they'll finally give up on.
And, you know, and of course, you know, school board meetings that all talk about in support of these mandates and masking up your kids and giving them the shots and as many shots as you can get them. Any of that stuff, of course, they'll allow. But if it's a school board meeting where the parents are speaking against it, then, oh, no, 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 we can't have that. That's too much truth. Can't allow the truth to get out there on Facebook, you know. They should just follow
it
up
with
the end of the book.
I don't want to play this right now, but did you see the broccoli man from last week when Jamar got his 19th booster?
Yes, yes, I did. I did. That's a good one.
Yeah, where he's complaining about getting heart attacks after everyone, and the doctor's saying, I hope you get one every week.
Yes, yes, that's a good one. I like that one. I legit laughed in that one probably at least 4 or 5 times while that was on. Because I think that one is one of those slightly longer ones that you've done. And, yeah, I found myself legitimately laughing out loud several times.
Well, Jamaris was only 3 minutes and 7 seconds.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a longer one than that. I'm thinking of a different one, I think.
Maybe that's the one longer. Mike, where his birthing partner is trying to get him pregnant.
Yes, that one too. That one too is hilarious. But I did watch the one previous that you're talking about with the getting his 18th booster and having heart attacks every time, and he just wants to stop having heart attacks, so he keeps getting the jabs.
Yeah, because that's what good liberals do.
Exactly. But you got to save the world. So I'll have heart attacks every single time so that I could do my part to save the world. That one's a funny one. And I'm sure that, you know, let's see, what else do I got up my sleeve here? You know, kind of what you were talking about, too, is like you're finally admitting the issues with heart problems. And, of course, they're still minimizing it. They admit it, but they minimize it. You know, they try to stress how rare it is. And yet, meanwhile, you see articles of dozens of athletes are dropping like flies and nobody's allowed to ask why. That's an article from November 28th. And it goes through, like, at least 69 athletes have collapsed in 1 month. Many have died. You know, that's just, let's see, the year 2021 stands out with 13 entries so far that have collapsed and died. You know, and it's happening all over the world. You know, so you got, in October, cardiac and circulatory events in the sports field went through the roof. And so we're having all these increases. That's so abnormal. And, you know, what's the one thing that they have in common? All these COVID jab mandates. that cause heart problems. And, you know, these are athletes. These are people that are, you know, their whole job is taking care of themselves. You know what I mean? They're the most, you know, fit and healthy people they're probably, you could probably ask for, that would be the least susceptible to being hospitalized or die from getting COVID. But yet here we see they're being forced to get the jab, and now they're just collapsing with heart problems all over the place. And, you know, that can't be a coincidence. But nobody wants you to put those two things together. You know, they want you to be sad for these athletes that are, you know, that are dying or collapsing and having heart problems, and then, you know,
well, they don't want you
having to be put on defibrillators.
That's just, they want you to be angry at whoever's not getting the gene therapy. That's what they want. They don't care who gets hurt.
Well, they want you to cry for these athletes, you know, while at the same time they're like deliberately omitting information about, okay, well, how soon before they collapsed and or died did they get a COVID jab, and which COVID jab was it? Was it the first? Was it the second? Was it a booster? We don't know. They conveniently omit that information time and time and time again. They don't want us to connect those dots together. So,
but
yeah,
you're still supposed to feel as though you're saving the planet by risking your life.
Exactly. You know, and it's just becoming more and more evident that, you know, the risks are not worth it to get these jabs. You know, as time goes on, the benefit of getting it is less and less, and the risks seem more and more. So, you know.
And they're trying more and more. So you had people. You had three 17-year-olds that were in a concentration camp in Australia, and they got out, and they did not have COVID. And the Australian news, the fake news out there, is saying that this is like the crime of the century, because how dare somebody escape a concentration camp?
Yeah, even though it's just insanity, you know. And then, you know, Germany's starting to do the same thing, lock them up, you know.
This brings us to a clip that I definitely wanted to make sure I played today. It's from one of my favorite newscasters or journalist, talk show host, Eric July, who works with The Blaze. And he called this segment, Germany is kicking it old school. So you know where this is going. I'm going to play it.
Yep. Go
Germany
for it.
Kicking it old school, man. Kicking it fucking old school. They can't. You can't beat the classics. You just can't. Like sometimes it's like Australia right now, right? Started as a prison colony, essentially. And what are they doing right now? They got motherfuckers climbing out of indoctrination. Well, they are kind of indoctrination, but this is more what we're talking about in concentration camps. Quarantine facilities, if you will, crawling out of the motherfuckers. Now, Germany, which shouldn't surprise anybody. Germany gonna Germany, ain't they? They really are. Germany, as covered by CBS, certified bullshit news. Germany announces major restrictions on unvaccinated as COVID cases surge. It's almost like them jabs ain't stopping shit. It ain't stopping the cases. People who aren't vaccinated will be excluded from non-essential stores, cultural and recreational venues, and Parliament will consider a general vaccine mandate. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said Thursday as part of an effort to curb coronavirus infections that again topped 70,000 new COVID cases in the 24-hour period. And you see, these guys, the world leaders, right, of these major countries, they're so fucking stupid that they won't even accept that they got it wrong. So they always double down, right? You think there would be some sort of self-reflection here, right? Oh, shit, we've done all of this. Whoops, cases haven't stopped. In fact, they may be higher in some cases than what they were previously, despite not having a jab before. You think they would look at it and say, oh, shit, something we messed up along the way. Nope. The measures were necessary. No, they weren't. They were never necessary. In light of concerns that hospitals in Germany will become over... Do y'all not understand that almost nowhere in the world in the West, advanced like world, has there been like a case of where the folks were quote unquote overwhelmed solely due to COVID? Now there has been, like we saw with Italy and the great Johnny Anitas mentioned, where you had public policy that went in the wrong direction, which then may have messed up in terms of some capacity issues. For example, with Italy and them accepting all of like these young people who weren't really sick, but they were admitting them in the hospital because they were so scared of this virus. Then what happened, right? They didn't have enough beds to go around when it really, really hit the fan for folks that were vulnerable. But that's a policy issue. That's not because of the COVID. That's because you have implemented such a policy that was moronic and it got you in trouble. The measures were necessary, they said. But the situation in our country is serious. Merkel told reporters in Berlin, calling the measures an act of national solidarity. We need to get one of those funny mustaches right here, because that sounds awfully familiar. She kind of looks like the motherfucker a little bit too, which is kind of weird. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. She said officials also agreed to require masks in schools, impose new limits on private meetings, and aim for 30 million vaccinations by the end of the year. Merkel also said that Parliament would debate the possibility of imposing a general vaccine mandate, which could come into force as early as February. So February, Germany's really going to kick it old school starting February. About 70% of the... So 68.7. So almost... Think about this, guys. They're having a surging number of cases despite having almost 70% of the population fully vaccinated. Finance minister, who is expected to be elected chancellor by the center-left coalition next week, said Tuesday that he backs a general vaccine mandate but favors letting lawmakers vote according to their personal conscience rather than party lines on the matter. The rise of COVID cases over the past several weeks and the arrival of the Omicron variant have prompted warnings from scientists and doctors that medical services in the country could become overstretched. It always could be, possibly, potentially. It might, may happen. Unless the drastic action is taken, some hospitals in the south and east of the country have already transferred patients to other parts of Germany because of the shortage of intensive care beds. Germany's Disease Control Agency reported 73,209 newly confirmed cases Thursday. They had 388 new deaths, taking the total since the start of the pandemic to 102,000. Look, guys. Governments just around the world are on a fucking power trip. And more, this was like an experiment. Let's call this what it was. An experiment where these fools wanted to see how much people would comply with their demands. And the existence, even all through all this coercion and extortion, threats of violence that's happening for people that are not vaccinated, there are still people that remain unvaccinated. That chaps their ass, because you're a living example. You're a living example of someone that held the line and didn't cave in to their demands. And they hate that shit. I can sit up here and tell y'all how this doesn't make sense until I'm blue in the face. I've been doing it for the better part of it, you know, over a year and a half. The actions don't match up. The data doesn't add up. The data that they provide doesn't make any fucking sense. Yet here we are, entering into another flu season. We're right back at it again, and they're trying to get more strenuous and crack down and blaming the unvaccinated, despite you in some cases are having some areas that are worse in terms of their case rate than what they were last year, and there was no vaccine available there. And yet still there's some idiot crackhead walking around thinking that you the problem because you don't support vaccine mandates. These guys are pieces of shit. They call it what they are, pieces of absolute dog shit. And I wish you guys would just be honest. Stop being chicken shit. Go ahead and put the little funny looking fucking mustache and start fucking hailing and tell us how you really feel. Stop doing all this chicken shit bullshit, acting like you give a fuck about health and concerns of your fellow people. You don't give a damn about that. This is about power. This is about control. And stop being chicken shit and just admit it. You just watched a clip from my podcast.
All right, so I wanna follow that up. Unless you have anything to say on that, I want to follow it up with what Dan Bongino said today regarding Mr. Creepy's approval numbers. And then I have a Tucker Carlson clip before it gets too late. So you're going to hear some clips. So let's hear what Dan had to say.
People are catching on to the grift. How do I know that? Because we do facts and data on this show, unlike the fact checkers. Here, post-millennial Hannah Nightingale. Biden's approval rating plummets to 36.3%. Here's the question now. Who the hell are these 36.3%? Who are the 36.3% that still think this guy is for real? Who? Yeah, yeah, he brings up a good point, Joe. They're all employees of CNN. And there's a few MSNBC folks in there as well. I got a clip coming up from Roger Stone about CNN later that's hilarious. Folks, people are catching on to the grift. I hate predictions. I'm hesitant to give it, but whatever, I'm going to dive in anyway. My prediction is, at least over the course of the next few months, longer-term horizons are obviously much harder to predict. But at least in the next few months, if Biden's approval may even get worse. 36 is really a floor, because you got to figure at least 20-25% of the country are probably radical leftists that don't really care about what Joe Biden does. They just care about not letting Republicans get power. They'll support him no matter what. But I think this is going to get even worse. I think this has the potential to go even lower than 36.3%, which would be just a historic collapse in the first year of a presidency. We'll see. Why do I say that? Because, folks, nothing Joe Biden is doing is working. The legal losses are piling up. The policy losses are piling up. The messaging losses are piling up. Everything is piling up on Biden. And they have this thing in politics we used to joke about on the show a lot. It's called the Big Mo. What's the Big Mo? It's a very scientific term. Momentum. I'm kidding, of course. The Big Mo. When momentum starts to go against you, and you start piling on the losses, it's very, very hard to stop. Look at this article, it's just the news. It'll be in my newsletter today. Biden's legal defeats rapidly piling up across the nation on a broad array of policy fronts. He was forced to reinstitute Trump's immigration policy at the border, Biden, by the courts. He lost the CMS case, Center for Medicaid, Medicare Services, yesterday, trying to force vaccines on people. He's losing the OSHA case. Here's just a few of them. I'll go back to that first one, Gee. Sorry about that. I screwed that up. I just went here. It says the losses came after the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Fifth Circuit temporarily blocked the president's border mandate requiring private businesses, broader mandate, excuse me, with 100 or more employees to ensure all workers get vaccinated or submit to testing. That's blocked. Here's the next one. Here we have the border getting blocked. There's another ruling that came out of Eastern District of Kentucky blocking the administration from implementing its vaccine mandate for government contractors and subcontractors. Folks, there's two important points I need to leave you with here. You know, it's one thing to talk about the news. It's another thing to put the news in context for people who work hard for a living like you, make it digestible. That's my job here. It's my goal. Number one, again, the losses will pile up, and the big Mo is working against Biden now. This will get worse based on public polling data, based on the legal losses, based on the fact that his policy momentum is now gone and all of his policy initiatives have failed. The infrastructure bill, it's not going to do anything for infrastructure. And the Build Back Worse plan, if it passed, will be an inflationary disaster. But the second most important takeaway from all this is this, and I'll get to this in a bit too, as it segues nicely to another story. The legacy of the Donald Trump presidency is going to be a lot of things. The tax cuts, regulatory reform, some semblance of control at the border for the first time in a long time. But I would argue to you strongly, and I had Jenna Ellis on my radio program yesterday make this same case, who was one of President Trump's former attorneys, that the most important accomplishment of Trump term one, I don't want to say Trump legacy because it's not done yet. He's likely going to run again. But the most important accomplishment of Trump term one was the courts. Listen, not every single judge we appointed turned out to be a gem, but he appointed a lot. Was it roughly 20%+ of the judiciary are now Trump appointees? Folks, that matters. You are seeing it echo throughout the judicial system now with these Biden losses. Not all of them were Trump appointees, but with these Biden losses, with the Supreme Court case now, this landmark case on abortion where the questioning yesterday, I don't want to make any predictions, but the questioning yesterday was very, very, very harsh, directed at these pro-abortion people. I would make a strong case to you that President Trump's most important legacy is hands down going to be his transformation of the courts. And I think if he gets elected again in 2024, we'll see even more of that. I know it doesn't get a lot of press. Well, I shouldn't say it gets a decent amount of press in the conservative space, but sometimes in the left too. I don't want to be dramatic. It doesn't do us any good. But it didn't get the hoopla that the tax cuts did. The transformation of the courts is a huge deal.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show.
All right, so I want to piggyback that with what Tucker Carlson said with Brandon and how the authoritarianism is working out right now. So we're going to hear Tucker Carlson's piece, and then we'll wrap up and have some discussions.
So we gave up everything to fight COVID. We gave up our economy, our culture, our health. We literally stopped educating our own children. We did all of this in order to lower COVID deaths. And yet COVID deaths went up anyway, and they went up dramatically. So the obvious question is, how is this working? On the basis of the most simple numbers, it's not. In fact, it looks like the greatest public policy failure of all time. How does Joe Biden explain that? What does Tony Fauci say about it, or Rochelle Walensky? Well, nothing, not a word. No one in charge has even acknowledged the magnitude of the failure. They haven't had to acknowledge it because they've traded a scapegoat to take the blame for it. The scapegoat is called the unvaccinated, a phrase that everyone understands is essentially political. It means working class whites who probably voted for Trump. This is all their fault. Everything bad, they did. Over the weekend, various White House officials blamed this group not simply for COVID, but for virtually everything that has gone wrong since Joe Biden has become president, and there's a lot. The collapse of the U.S. dollar, supply chain implosions, empty shelves in stores, labor shortages, even rising gas prices. Watch the White House press secretary suggest that the unvaccinated are somehow responsible for inflation.
I would note, though, that the way most Americans understand and feel and experience inflation is by cost increases, right? And they experience that as it relates, and we see what the largest impacts on cost increases are across the country, whether it's gas prices or, in some cases, food prices or a variety of issues. We know what the root causes of those are, right? Global supply chain issues. The best thing we can do as a government is to get the pandemic under control.
Can't get the pandemic under control until you get the shot, despite the fact that more than 80% of the entire adult population has already gotten the shot. So we printed too much money because you haven't been vaccinated. That's why the dollar's not worth as much. You wonder how long it'll be before they blame the unvaccinated for climate change. Can't be long now. So Joe Biden's campaign to lower COVID deaths has been unequivocally a failure. The numbers show that very clearly. But his campaign to demonize a group of powerless Americans, to transform them into kulaks, objects of state-sponsored hate in their own country, that has worked amazingly well. These people are now so despised, it is considered acceptable for politicians to try and kill them. In Buffalo, a state assemblyman called Pat Burke is pushing insurance companies to deny coverage to people who refuse the injection. Disobey Joe Biden, have fun dying of some preventable disease, kulak. You deserve it. This is not just an American phenomenon, by the way, and that tells you the most. Governments around the world have decided to transfer their failures onto the tiny percentage of their populations who, for whatever reason, don't want the injection. In Germany, they won't even help you die if you don't get the shot. Euthanasia clinics are turning away the unvaccinated. You've got to get the COVID vaccine before you commit suicide for moral reasons. Someday, when the fog lifts and art returns, somebody's going to write a hilarious novel about this moment. And, of course, one of the stars of it will be a nearly 81-year-old bureaucrat who really shouldn't be driving a car at this point, but who somehow took control of the most powerful country on Earth and then promptly went insane. If you haven't checked in on Tony Fauci lately, you may be a little surprised to discover what he's become. If you tuned in a couple of years ago, you may recall Fauci is a conventional public health official. He wore button-down shirts. He gave careful, precise answers that suggested deep medical knowledge. No more. After 2 years of nonstop media adulation, Tony Fauci has morphed into an even shorter version of Benito Mussolini. Watch Fauci on television the other day refer to himself without even flinching in the third person.
Well, there are a lot of Republican senators taking aim at this. I mean,
that's okay. I'm just going to do my job. And I'm going to be saving lives, and they're going to be lying. There's a distinct anti-science flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there, so it's easy to criticize. But they're really criticizing science, because I represent science.
When they criticize me, they're criticizing science. I am science, declares Tony Fauci. Science is me. So clearly, something deep inside Tony Fauci has changed. The man now believes he's a deity, accountable to no one. Watch Fauci blithely swat aside criticism from a sitting U.S. senator, a man who, unlike him, has been democratically elected by millions of people, by invoking January 6th. Watch this.
Senator Cruz told the Attorney General you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I have to laugh at that. I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator?
Wait a second. This is the man in charge of our COVID response. What does January 6th have to do with COVID, you ask? Well, simple. Anyone who questions Tony Fauci is, by definition, a dangerous insurrectionist. And Fauci's not the only one who believes that. A few weeks ago, departing NIH head Francis Collins suggested that any American who doubts government COVID policy is a criminal. Collins announced that he'd like to, quote, identify those who are purposefully spreading false information online about COVID and bring them to justice. Public health officials didn't used to talk like this. They once concerned themselves with public health. This is how they talk now. And it all might be easier to take if they were doing their core jobs effectively. For example, COVID deaths under Joe Biden had dropped. But again, and you can't say it loudly or often enough, deaths have not dropped. COVID deaths have risen. So you've got to wonder how long the population is going to put up with this. Unelected lunatics haranguing the rest of us as they fail at their core job. Well, the White House must be wondering very much the same thing, because all of a sudden we have a brand new COVID variant to be terrified of. This new variant was discovered by the chair of the South African Medical Association, a woman called Angelique Kotse. Here's how she describes the threat.
Looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there's no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients.
There's no reason to panic. It's very mild, she tells us. Very mild. We don't see very ill patients. Now, normally that would be good news for everyone, but in this country, it is cause for even deeper and more profound alarm. In the state of New York, the unelected governor has just banned all elective surgeries at hospitals because of this new variant. Now, keep in mind, there are precisely zero confirmed cases of this variant in the state of New York. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be afraid. Oh, you should definitely be afraid. Thanks to this mild yet terrifying new variant, Joe Biden told us today, you must get your third vaccine.
You have to get your vaccine. You have to get the shot. You have to get the booster. Sooner or later, we're going to see cases of this new variant here in the United States. We'll have to face this new threat just as we face those that come before it.
Message? Don't listen to the doctors. It's mild. It's not a problem. But that doesn't mean you can even think about relaxing. There is plenty of fear ahead, and you're going to need to listen very, very carefully to Anthony Fauci.
Did you see there in that Tucker clip where Dr. Fauci says, I am the science. I am the science. What a lab rat that guy is. What a rat. What kind of a person says something like that? Do you remember the clip out of Star Wars where the Emperor says, I am the Senate? Man, it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. What is wrong with the little Napoleonic short man? And Tony Fauci's like 4 feet tall. What is wrong with these teeny little tyrants? This guy is Napoleon reincarnate. And we really do have to kick this guy out of that job. Like, it's evil. He needs to be investigated. This is clearly the worst and most entrenched bureaucrat rat in the country. And they can't let go. The thing is that the fraud is so obvious. And the corruption is so obvious, they can't let go of power because they're terrified about what will happen to them when they don't have power. Well, they'll find out soon enough.
All right, so anyway, you have even people like, who's that guy, Noah, that took over the Stephen Colbert show or whatever. He said something about the unfairness where there's no Moderna booster, but there's Pfizer boosters, and now the left is calling that guy an anti-vaxxer because he dares to question about certain policies. Not even saying that they should be mandated or not, but just saying how come Moderna doesn't have any boosters.
Well, yeah, and you know, why is Pfizer the favored one, you know, and the star pupil and all this? Probably
that's
because of all those contracts we were talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah, but Moderna, strangely enough, is the one that Bill Gates is basically behind because that was started with DARPA.
Yeah. When is Moderna? Has Moderna said anything about when they're going to have boosters ready that you know
of? That I don't know. I don't really care. I'm not interested regardless, so I did not make it a point to even look it up.
Let's see.
So it seems like every celebrity is eventually going to have their moment where the woke will cancel them.
Yeah. Oh, this, I'm just seeing this. This came up. Moderna executive says company could have Omicron booster ready in March.
Yeah.
Moderna could have a COVID-19 booster shot targeting the Omicron variant tested and ready to file for U.S. authorization as soon as March, the company's president said on Wednesday.
But Pfizer's is already out, even though nobody knew that Omicron was a thing until last week, but it's already on the shelves. Because that went through a lot of testing after that came out.
Oh, sure,
that went through
yeah.
user testing.
And what really makes it different, nobody knows. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But maybe the added ingredients.
Yeah, for all we know, it could be the same exact booster every single week. All we know is, just like Jamar with his 19 boosters, that every one of them could be the exact same. We have no clue. They
yeah,
don't have to tell us the ingredients.
Yeah, they don't have to divulge that. What really makes it different? What testing was involved? It's like, this just came about and already, you know, you think that you have something that'll work against it. It's like, how can that possibly happen in any kind of scientific sense at all in a couple of weeks? That's just too short of a time for any kind of significant or, you know, even insignificant studies to be done. And I want to know how they even differentiate. Like, how did they discover this new variant? You know, like, how are they discovering this, really? Because as far as I know, the tests don't differentiate between what you got. So,
right, of course.
That's where my confusion is how do we even know? How do we know? All of a sudden, there's all these Omicron variants all over the United States popping up in the last couple of days. And how do they know? Yeah, you know, I'm flabbergasted. How did the test differentiate between this new variant and Delta and the original? Where did these tests suddenly come from that differentiate? That's the question I want answered for me, because I have yet to see anything that does.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah, I mean, if I go, you know, a couple miles up the road to the medical clinic and get tested, how do they know? Do they already have these tests in hand that'll detect which variant I got? How would they possibly have those tests out there distributed all around the nation already, you know, to be able to start testing for it so soon?
Well, they don't, but as long as you got something, they don't care.
Yeah. Really kind of, it's like those things that make you go, Yeah. It makes you wonder if there even is a variant. It's just all more made-up crap, you know, that these variants actually don't exist. You know what I mean? It's fully possible, because where is the proof? Where is the proof that these, and show me what the differences are. Show me the original and show me what the differences are between each of these variants that you claim are out there. I want to see the proof. You know? I don't think I'm the only one either that actually wants to see the proof and just wants to, you know, isn't buying all of this media hype.
Yeah, I haven't bought one iota of media hype yet.
Like,
I'm not a very media hype person.
Up. Yeah, me neither. Except to criticize it. You know, the only reason to pay attention to it is to criticize it, really. That's really the only way to get to the truth, is just to, when you see the lies staring at you, you know, and being able to recognize the lies and propaganda from actual real data and facts.
All right, I'm trying to think of what else I want to get into here.
Yeah, we got about 20 minutes of the show left, and you know I'm going to plug my show on Sunday at some point.
No, go ahead, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. So for all of you guys listening, I have a pretty big show lined up for Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Laurie Ann. I have a very, very special guest, Spike Cohen, is going to be joining me on Sunday night. I'm really looking forward to it. most of you probably already know who he is, but he was the 2020 vice president for the Libertarian Party candidate. He ran on the ticket with Joe Jorgensen as their VP pick. And he's also a successful business owner. And since then, he travels a lot and he spreads the word and message of liberty in promoting libertarian ideals for small government. And I'm really looking forward to him. He's got a good sense of humor, and but he's also definitely very vocal on who knows the topics that we're going to get into, really. You know, he is pretty well versed on all kinds of topics. So I'm really looking forward to him being on the show. So definitely don't miss out on it. Spike Cohen, I'm definitely excited. And I hope that you guys tune in on Sunday night, same time as this show, Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. And I am definitely curious to see how the conversation goes. You know, I have some topics that I have in mind. And then I know V is putting her thinking cap on, too, on things to bring up with them. And as you know, when you're an unscripted show, a lot of times conversations kind of take on their own life. And you end up going down roads that you didn't really plan on. And that's exactly what I look forward to as well. So it'll be a good time. So, again, Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m., Lucid Libertarian. You can find me on Facebook. And just try to remember on Sunday night when you're kicking back to tune in.
Yeah, you've been doing well with bringing in new guests and stuff.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I haven't had a lot of them, but when I do land a guest, I've been really very happy with the people that I've had on. You know, Richard Gage, the former founder and CEO of Architects and Engineer for 9/11 Truth. He was my first big guest to have on the end of September. And then just before the Kyle Rittenhouse case, I had Kriston T. Harris from the Rundown Live. And his footage was included in the Rittenhouse trial, and he was called as a witness as well to speak to his footage that he got. And he covered that whole trial live, and now he's actually in New York City covering the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. So he's there in the courthouse every day taking notes. He actually messaged me not too long ago that he's preparing to do, you know, he has somebody transcribing all his handwritten notes from the trial, and he plans to put that up, you know, typed out up on the Rundown Live website. And, you know, and I've also been listening to his podcast or whatever when he's, you know, talking about it. And I got to say, with Kriston, yesterday I watched his Rundown Live episode where he was, you know, covering what was covered in the trial yesterday. And he was, like, legitimately trying to hold himself together emotionally while he was talking about the testimony of the 14-year-old girl that Maxwell recruited, and, you know, the testimony talking about how the grooming would progress until eventually, you know, Epstein was paying her mother, and her mother only met him once, but yet, you know, and so this girl was seeing Epstein via Maxwell's arrangements every 2 weeks, and he has like a process that he goes through that he outlines with how to groom these girls. And so she talks about, you know, how she was groomed, and so it starts out with, you know, lots of going out and doing fancy shopping and paying for voice lessons or whatever lessons they want, and flying them all around the country. And Maxwell was all part of that, going on these elaborate shopping sprees and stuff to entice them, and, you know, paying the mother and things. And then it gets into the massage, which, you know, they have a massage room. And she talked about how eventually, you know, at first it started out just her and him. The first time he, you know, kind of just dropped his drawers on her and for him to get a naked massage kind of a thing, and that how it eventually came to being walked into the massage room and for an orgy with other people in the room and things and on, and it's just like, you know, and as Krypton's talking about this in his video, I mean, he is just like visibly trying to hold it together. He is just, it really got me thinking about like how this jury must feel too, listening to all this. This has got to be such a hard trial for the jury to have to decide on and to listen to all these testimonies and how sick and perverted Epstein was. And, you know, it's got to be really tough to sit there and hear all this. So Krypton was my guest before the Rittenhouse trial, and so I'm still paying attention to him. And now I landed Spike Cohen. And I'm super excited. I decided to ask him. I've been following Spike for quite a while. I mean, hell, I voted for him. You know, him and JoJo, obviously, in 2020. And so when I got an email back from him saying, yeah, sure, you know, I about jumped out of my chair right there. So I'm super happy. And hopefully I'll continue to be able to bring in good guests and I try to make it relaxing for them to be able to talk their truth and what they believe, and that's what this is all about. And hopefully they feel relaxed and open, and I create a platform for them to feel free to do so and keep doing that. And hopefully I land more guests that kind of like that atmosphere, and they like that it's radio. You know, he doesn't have to dress up in a nice shirt and, you know, make sure that he's all presentable in front of a camera. He can just kick back and relax and be on the radio instead of a video camera. Anyway, so
that's
my show.
Well, that's cool, though, because now we have another show that has a lot of good guests. I think a lot of our shows are newer, and not many people have warmed up to actually going out and reaching for guests.
Yeah, there's, you know, sometimes for me, well, you know, Danielle St. John, her show right before mine, Seeds of Change on Sunday afternoons, 3 to 6. She's not shy about getting guests for sure, and I think that she and I are a really great pairing for Sundays. And you know, with what she brings to the table, and then I try to bring, you know, my own thing to the table too. She brings on a lot of great guests, so I'm really happy with how things are going with the shows and their development. And I'm on Alaska Patriot Network. I'll be on Dahl Artson's show tomorrow, 3 to 6 Pacific time. She's going to be back, and she's coming back home after traveling to Seattle. And so I will be her sidekick again tomorrow. And last week, which felt really weird, you know, because I was on your show last week because of Thanksgiving. I was on a Wednesday instead of Thursday. And then Dahl didn't do her show. And so it, like, felt, it was, like, it was a really weird weekend because I'm just so used to, you know, Thursday on with you, Friday on with Dahl on Alaska Patriot Network, and then my show on Sunday. And then I try to call into Danielle's, too, when I'm available as well. I know she asked me to call in a couple of times on her show because she knew I was watching the Rittenhouse trial, you know, all the streaming every single day and stuff. And so she asked me to call in a couple times during that.
So I have to make sure that I get a schedule for the week between Christmas and New Year, because I am not personally going to be on. So you can either host the show without me, or we just leave it dark.
That's right, because you're doing vacation Monday the 27th through the 30th, right? That whole week.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to be out all four of those days. I'll be coming back on the 30th. There's a chance that if I get home early enough, if you wanted to do the show, I would be on with you, but I can't make that guarantee because traffic coming back home, yeah, I don't know if we're coming back on the 29th or the 30th, and even so, we could leave at 8 in the morning, and with traffic going from L.A. to Las Vegas, I could be home at 1 or I could be home at 5. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't plan on it. You wouldn't want to have to stress yourself out to plan on it, and you just don't know what the weather's going to be like or what you're going to run into.
That's what I ran into 2 years ago because the I-15 coming home was completely shut down 100%. So fortunately, we have a friend out in Palm Desert, which is outside of Palm Springs, California, and we called them to see if we can come by, and they offered to let us stay the night and hang out with them.
Very nice. Yeah, you might want to have a backup plan in case something like that happens again. Maybe
yeah, that's our
set
backup
up.
Plan.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. I don't know. Have any of the other co-hosts said, I'll do a show?
I didn't ask.
Okay. I mean, I could. I could fill in for you that Thursday if you want me to, and then I could just be standing by in case you don't run into any issues and you get home early enough and you want
to you'll have to figure that out with V and Dahl as well. Maybe they want to co-host. And maybe you take up a co-hosting spot on one of the other days. And then we got to figure out Wednesday because I'll be honest, I don't think Wendy wants to do a show by herself.
Yeah, or who knows what she's
I'm
got
not
going
saying
on,
she
too.
Is, I just don't think she will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, V, who knows what she's got going on, too, So we've got to check her schedule.
Yeah, and I don't know what Dahl has going on either, so I can't answer.
Yeah, we'll have to, sidebar conversation and see what kind of plans we want to try to do for that week and figure it out from there, figure out that schedule. I don't have anything right now that I foresee would be a problem as far as availability, but so I'm open either way. But then, I don't want to burn out either and do a show every single day that week either. Either hosting or co-hosting.
Well, I figured if you did one extra show, maybe you did Monday or Tuesday, and then Dahl did maybe with Wendy. I would say if you could, my best case scenario would be Dahl has people that she can have as a co-host on Tuesdays. Maybe you co-host with V on Monday. And then Dahl can fill in on Wednesday with Wendy. And then
yeah, I need to make sure that V is available on the 26th, too, because that's the day after Christmas. So I want to make sure that
right.
She's available to
you
do
mean
my show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, for the 26th. But, I'll ask V if she's up for doing 2 days in a row. We could, if she's available Sunday with my show, and then she's already used to being on your show on Mondays, then we could just do a back-to-back, perhaps.
Just from years of experience, doing a show the exact day after Christmas on a Sunday night is going to be hard. I'm not saying don't do it. Just don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect to get any guests or anything, but I'll probably still do the show. You never know. You know, people still might, you know, be listening. I don't know. But I'll
That's
still
like
do
when
it
comes to holidays. I'm not upset if I do a show that the co-host can't make it on a holiday because I obviously there's no pay involved here, but I can't expect people to give up their family if you got family coming in or you have plans on a holiday. I can't impede that. So if V says I can't make it, it's Boxing Day. Don't be mad that she's not going to be on your show. It's just common in this industry that you will have people that take time off, and there's nothing that you should do to be mad about.
Oh no, I wouldn't be mad about that. No, I just want to see if she's available. And either way, I'm planning on doing the show. I just don't know what her plans are. And
that's why I'm giving everybody the option. If you want to host the show on your own or if you want to just leave it dark, I'm leaving that to you guys because that's just how it is during holidays.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if we don't do shows that week, then, you know, you could always broadcast like a favorite show or whatever, like a rerun. That's a possibility, too, if you wanted to, or if you needed to, like for one.
Yeah,
I
never,
if there's nobody
to
cover.
I've never had to do that before.
But, well, it's first time for everything. I mean, you need to have a life outside of the show, too, you know. You could take a vacation. So if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. But we'll cover it.
You could say it's a vacation, I guess, but I'm going to do a documentary in San Diego, and the guy is coming from Australia, and he's going to be there exactly on the 26th, and he flies out, I believe, the 27th or 28th. So I have one day where I'm going to be available for the documentary.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
So
well, that's also a good reason.
Yeah, so I'll be working. I'm just working on something else.
Got it. We'll figure it out. We got a little time to figure out what's going to happen that week.
One thing we don't have is a lot of time on the show tonight because I just got the 60-second buzzer.
Yeah. We're already running out of time.
So we'll be back Monday, or at least I'll be back Monday. Please listen to the Lucid Libertarian show on Sunday evenings. But I'll be back on Monday. And don't forget, Jumana has the right view on my particular 3-hour time slot, but on Friday. So if you listen to this time slot tomorrow, you're going to hear Jumana. So... Meantime, I'll be back Monday. Until then.